This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in, and we trust the program is a help to you. We hope you're encouraged, perhaps challenged, perhaps instructed, but we hope you'll follow along with us. Now, we've come to 1 Timothy, and so if you're opening your Bible, you might want to open it to 1 Timothy. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and you can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. There's a wealth of information on that website that might be helpful to you. My testimony's there. My wife's testimony's there. Questions and answers are there, and a weekly meditation can be found there as well. Now, you can also reach me, if you'd like to, by writing to Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, again, you can leave comments or prayer requests at that address. Today, then, as I've said, we're going to be continuing our journey through the Bible, and we've come to 1 Timothy. Now, the past several weeks, we've been dealing with what are called the prison epistles, and now we're going to be looking at what are called the pastoral epistles. The pastoral epistles are 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. They were letters written by Paul to individuals that had served with him, but he had left them behind. Timothy at Ephesus, and as I understand it, Titus was at Crete. He'd left them behind to encourage the work in those two places. And so these are very personal letters, but they're very practical letters. 1 Timothy is a very practical letter guiding Timothy as he teaches and guides the church at Ephesus. Now, there are some Bibles that will try to imply that Timothy was the first bishop of Ephesus, but I think that would be very difficult to prove because whenever Paul writes about bishops, which are really overseers, he always writes about them in the plural. And even in Philippians, he wrote to the church, and he wrote to it the bishops and the elders and the deacons of that church. He included them as in a plurality. And so the only place we see them found singularly would be in this epistle when Paul is giving the qualifications of an elder. But when they're functioning, they always function as a group. And so I have a hard time finding any place in the Bible where people are given a professional title and a professional role in that way. But they do have a work to do. And Timothy had a work to do where he would end up playing a pastoral role, in other words, a shepherding role with regard to the people at Ephesus. But he was not their lead pastor. He was not the man who was considered to be the chief overseer or in any way an overlord with regard to the church. Now, when we look at Timothy and Titus, they were both sent to churches on temporary missions by the Apostle Paul to instruct believers and to warn them against false teachers. Now, as I look at this matter of false teachers, we don't really deal a lot with ministry about that today. And yet, I believe we have the same problems in our church at large, maybe not in a local congregation, but we have the same problems in the church at large that Paul was dealing with when he was telling Timothy to be careful or Titus to be careful with regard to doctrines that were coming in. And so we need to be aware that there are people in the case of Timothy, the biggest problem was mixing the Judaistic religion with the Christian religion and trying to make Christianity again a sect of Judaism. And we talked about that with regard to the Galatian epistle. That was their main problem. But there were other problems there as well with regard to the role of women, with regard to the doctrines where they were forbidding people to eat meat, something that we see in the church today. And very practical issues were brought up with regard with regard to these problems of false doctrines. Some had departed from the faith and some had gone shipwreck concerning the faith. They were people that were never saved, but they had had the truth presented to them and they had turned away from it and were teaching what they believed to be true. But really, the whole context of 1 Timothy is probably found in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, where Paul says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, that verse is very important because it's interesting that there is a way to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Now, the house of God, in this case, would be the local congregation that Timothy was helping, that Timothy was overseeing, Timothy was teaching. Timothy needed to know how to handle himself, how to conduct himself in the house of God, because the house of God was the pillar and ground of the truth. And while we live in a day when everybody says you have to know your own truth, that's not biblical. Biblically, there is truth that is solid. We know that the first verse that would come to our mind is when the Lord says, In John 14, and I think it's verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But as we go through the Bible, liars are always condemned, false apostles are condemned, false doctrine is condemned, but truth is what's paramount, and the church should be the pillar. That is, it should support clearly the truth, and it's the ground of the truth. That's the foundation on which everything else is built. And if you can't see the truth in the church, there's nothing in this life to guide us in our relationship with God, because most people do not read their Bibles, which is where we find the truth. But what they do is they see how churches operate, and they see how people operate within the church. And so the church has to represent truth. We have to know what we're talking about, and we have to act on what we know without being hypocritical about it. So this is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so when we look at this epistle, what I find encouraging to me is that when Paul starts the epistle, he gives his testimony to Timothy. And I'm going to read that to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." In other words, he thought he knew the truth and he didn't. And he was doing it not out of rebellion against God. He thought he was serving God, but he had his mind changed and he was doing this ignorantly in unbelief. In other words, not understanding the truth. "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "This is a faithful or a dependable saying and worthy of all acceptance." In other words, everyone should accept this saying. that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Paul always went back to what he says in the first part of this section, where he had persecuted the Christians. And he considered himself the chiefest of sinners for having done that, because in persecuting the Christians, he was persecuting the Lord himself. And so he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now, what I like about this is the fact that Paul recounts his testimony to Timothy. And today I hear people say, no, we don't need the gospel. We understand the gospel. We don't need people's testimonies. We understand people's testimonies. Well, let me tell you this. I always appreciated hearing testimonies, particularly at conferences where people I didn't know would go to the platform and would tell people how they found out that they were lost, guilty sinners, and what happened that gave them the assurance that Christ had died for them and that they knew they were saved. And they would tell those stories. And I went to those testimony meetings even before I was unsaved and found them interesting. And it's interesting to me that Paul never tired of telling his testimony. Do you suppose Timothy had ever heard this testimony before? Timothy had accompanied with Paul. He had been with him on his journeys. I remember an older man once who told about two men that preached together. It was an older man and a younger man. And as the older man got along in years, he would preach. And apparently he had some favorite passages or favorite sermons that he would preach. And so when he would preach, as he got older, he would sometimes forget where he was. And the younger man would tell him what was next, because he remembered the sermons the man had preached. We sometimes don't like to repeat things. I'm kind of that way. Don't like to repeat things for fear people will think that I'm not really studying my Bible and I'm not being original and I'm not being interesting and all of that. But the things that we repeat are the things that we remember. And this young man could tell the older man when he'd lose his train of thought, he'd lose his place. He could tell him what it was that he was supposed to preach next, because he had listened to him and had himself memorized much of the man's sermons. And so when I look at Timothy, Paul was kind of doing the same thing to Timothy. He's telling him something Timothy had heard over and over again. And sometimes we sing that song, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." It's and I'm forgetting all the words, but it's old, yet ever new. And when people lose the joy of telling how they came to know Christ, it seems to me that something is wrong. So Paul starts out by telling Timothy something he already knew, and then he goes into the way in which the assembly ought to operate, the characteristics of elders and the way women ought to respond, their role in the church and the way the church ought to handle widows and how they ought to handle people that are teaching false doctrine. He goes into all of that, but he also goes into something that's very important. He goes into the deity of Christ in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh. And so this is a very important epistle, and I hope you'll read it, and I hope you'll pay attention to what Paul is saying to Timothy, because it'll help you, if you're unsaved, to come to know the Savior. And if you are saved, it'll help you to know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this epistle, upon thy word, and upon this program, and upon those who are listening. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. In our Savior's worthy and precious name, amen.